Blog Talk Radio.
If you really are honest with yourself, ladies, and you look in the mirror and you really, really are being reasonable, you know we're better.
Écoutez, à midi.
p.m. y'all, it's Transmitting Live from Mars, Jovi P, Midwest Z, I'm Safe James, 914-290-0866 is the number to dial. Ladies and gentlemen, the wave of cryptocurrency and electronic funds is probably well underway. With the recent bump in price,
you think?
Tesla, Elon Musk and them just dropped a cool $1.5 billion into Bitcoin, which promptly shot the price up around $7,000 from 37 and changed around 37.5 up to 44.75, something like that. And I know because
sure,
I was
46.254.
No, it's 46 now. I'm talking about the initial push early this morning. That shit happened around like 7:38 o'clock because And here's the fucked up part about it. Not fucked up, but here's just the ironic part about it. Every morning, not every morning, I've been practicing, you know, doing my morning meditation and affirmations to get myself in position to win for the day. Because, you know, that's part of my daily routine is trading on the Forex market. And this fucking spike happened while I was meditating this morning. I come out of my meditation.
Damn.
Yeah, right. I'm putting my minds and my goals are set for the day on high aspirations.
There, my friend.
Yo, fam. But here's the thing I'm saying is like, you know, yes, that was like almost instant manifestation. But the fact is, I fucking missed the move. That's the point I'm trying to raise.
Yeah. I knew exactly what the fuck you were saying.
You knew where I was going with
it.
Yeah. Yo, nigga, I'm sitting there like, yo, this is what I've been waiting for. I knew there was going to be a bump because I've been following it all weekend. It's consolidating, prices moving sideways all weekend.
Nigga, you told us.
Yo.
I knew it was going to happen. I just missed the fucking move this morning. I was so tight at it.
I was literally. And first of all, Save, I've all day it's been on my mind to give you these accolades. So recently I ventured out on my own, kind of. I'm doing brokerage side of things, you know, kind of just have my own schedule now.
Okay.
Don't report to nobody, you know what I'm saying? And
awesome.
With that being said, yes, man, you have no idea. With that being said, I was on the treadmill this morning, and the news break came across. Elon Musk drops 1.6. I couldn't get to my account fast enough. While I was on the treadmill, and I just, yo,
no, I get it. I get it, fam.
And
here's the thing. What I'm trying to tell you is, by the time that news came, the price was already well over 40,000. This is what I'm trying to say. I was watching this shit all weekend. I woke up. I get up at the time I get up every morning. My alarm is set normally around 4 o'clock when I'm in heavy trades with all currencies. But if I'm just trading crypto, I'll get up around 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning and check the charts because those that are serious traders know that right after the London session is over at 4 o'clock, there's a dead gap from 5 to 6. And once that 5 to 6 time frame passes, around 7 o'clock, between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock before the New York session starts at 8:30, 9 o'clock, there's always some kind of activity going into the New York session. So I had this shit timed perfectly. I didn't have much of my trading account, and I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I know if I catch this motherfucker move right here, I'm set for the week. I ain't got to trade for the rest of the week. And sure enough, while I'm under in my meditation mode this morning, I do my affirmations. I even turn my charts on. Do my affirmations, meditate, all that shit. That's about a half-hour process. I look at my chart. There's a huge spiking green candle that just broke through all of the fucking price points that I had set that I would probably go to, getting close to 40,000. I mean, just totally annihilated it. Was up to 44, like I said, when I checked it early this morning. And if you know anything about, like I said, about trading or whatever like that, you don't get in on that major, what they call a vector push candle, because you know there's going to be some kind of retracement in price soon after. And that's how people get caught in the drawdown, so on and so forth. So I'm getting into technical terms like that. So I had to wait and see what it did. And then once it did that,
it tanked out at like 11:30. So I went ahead and purchased about another 1,000 shares of Dodge. And at about 10:15, 10:30, I was looking at, I logged in and I said, because this shit was down to like 6-9 pause. And I was like, no. But then London came around.
This is like 0.084 yesterday at one point, bro.
It almost reached 9 cents,
But this is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if the people, like real live traders that understand how price action moves, they know that there's going to be a drop down in price. Once it hits a new high, it's coming right back down for a second. And it's going to stay there for a little while until it's ready to keep on pushing forward. Like right now, you said it's at 46. It's starting to push back up right now. You see what I'm saying?
It's like that it's like being with a bad bitch.
I'd like to see how that analogy fits, but you know, we're going to be talking too much about that, and we got a lot more to talk about in the show. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, soon enough, I'll probably start dropping some price analysis on here and everything for those that's really seriously trying to trade and get into that lifestyle. Because I got two witnesses here. I told them a week ago that price is going to get back up to 40,000 within a week's time.
I didn't know we were going to
crash through like this. But I told them, I said, be patient. It's fucking around. It's going to drop down a little bit to like 35,000, 36,000. And then once it's done messing around down there, it's going to be a push to push it back up to 40,000. I called it.
The whole time you was talking to me, bro, I was like, oh, okay. Like me and Z already had a side fucking conversation going on. So we was like,
So you think it was scalping my information for your own personal benefit and then you get me in on it? You bad?
I told you.
Y'all some bitch ass niggas. That's what it got.
Hold up.
You said it in the production text.
Y'all didn't tell me y'all was about to really go in on this shit.
I mean, I put the warning out there.
I said, I bought some, nigga. I like balls. I put this shit in the chat.
Yo, maybe I wasn't listening. Friday, I'm telling you, because like Friday night into Saturday, I made $70 while I was sleeping.
Yeah, because it was creeping. It was creeping up. It was trying to get out of that bottom feeder mode all weekend. That's what I'm trying to say, because I was taking hits on my account because I was getting in and I didn't recognize that the price was just moving sideways. Like when it's ranging, it's just going to go from one price back down to another, back to that same price, back down to another for the whole day.
Right.
And that's what it was doing all weekend with slow, small gains. And I was my...
It did that shit for 36 hours, man.
They did it from Friday afternoon up until this morning. And that's what I'm saying. I was watching it.
But right before the Super Bowl, it tanked. Like,
and that's when it hit the rest of my account up, because I was waiting, I was banking on the actual jump that happened this morning, but like you said, it dropped down. That's what they technically call as a retest to the last level it came from, and then once it bounced off of that last resist support level, what happened? You saw what happened this morning. So sooner or later, once we are able to get visual, I'm gonna start giving some chart analysis, some price now to give people some forecasting and everything like that too. But I got two witnesses here right now, y'all. They know my shit. They know my shit is legit, Paul. They know my price analysis is official. And I didn't know it was gonna get this crazy to 44, 46,000. I was thinking it was gonna get back to where it just dropped off from 40, 41. But hey, if you'd listened to me, you'd have came out even better like these other two jagoons did and didn't get me in on it.
Jagoons, whatever.
Bastards.
You was on the phone talking about that.
The nigga can't
yeah,
read.
My shit is tied up right
read.
Now.
Whatever, nigga.
Right.
Go to the Rex Floyd Mayweather.
Oh.
Whatever, here you go.
PS13 and shit.
Anyway. I'm trying to find this new Conway because you guys are getting on my nerves. Anyway, full show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Huh?
Is it the Ransom track?
I don't know the names of them. I'm going to tell you like this. You know what? Let's get into the song. And then we're going to discuss the album on the other side. And then the last half of the show, we'll get into NFL. You know, greatness that took place yesterday. So let me see which one. I'll go with this one first. 9-12, y'all. We'll be right back.
You niggas rock anything and you call it dread. She come and do anything for me, I call you bitch.
Come here, bitch.
You niggas sell anything and you call it fish. We don't have nothing in common if you never bought a brick.
Not at all.
DA trying to make them Rico charges stick. We good money over there. We just made the lawyer rich.
We
got an AP. I got a gorgeous wrist. I took all the risks. My dog shot two niggas and got deported back to Port-au-Prince. We getting bags, but it's more to get. I started a record label. I've been on some corporate shit. Nigga owns several properties. We got mortgages. I can still have a nigga run down on you, dump the 40 clip. I don't understand how a nigga broke and he 46, but always run his dick like his mom. He was extorting shit. That's cap. You ain't extorting shit. Buck 50 on my watch, rocking this Louis V imported shit. Machine, bitch.
I know they fear the guard, DB not Aston Martin. Drifting fear of guard, big gun like Punya, we the terror squad. Sometimes I feel like Nipsey Hussle in a marathon. These niggas out here running around in a rat race. I'm in the kitchen, chef and fish, girl in that trap house. You on the internet with them bitches getting catfish. See me mobbing, riding through Harlem, nigga, and what? Any problem, we let that Mac spit. When that Mac spit, he got hit. Blood was dripping all on his brand new Gucci sweatsuit. Don't become a RIP t-shirt or a tattoo. Gloves and mad hockey stick when they slide through. Post your death on IG, let them watch it like a drive-thru. Write a song about it, then download the shit on iTunes. My scar face, incarcerated niggas with war wounds. Hold your head, son, you'll be home soon.
Pirate.
Now 14, same thing, Jordan and West Z. Trending live from Mars, 914-219-0866, number to dial. That was that new Conway off that, I don't know if it's like a extended EP or just a mini album. If it bleeds, it can be killed. That's a hell of a title. But hey, here we are, right?
It's a fact, though.
I mean, you know, hey, nobody's arguing with the logic. Nobody's arguing with the logic at all. But, you know, here we are, 2021, and Griselda is waving the flag of the gritty rap right now. Not too many teams is out there doing it like these dudes right now when it comes to the core sound of hip-hop, and we appreciate all they're doing for the culture right now, trying to keep the balance where it is, because, you know, nowadays we have motherfuckers out there buying titties, calling themselves rappers and shit like that. Niggas is implanting $24 million diamonds in their forehead. Damn, they're killing themselves. You know what I mean?
So,
you know, there's a lot of buffoonery going on in the hip-hop game that I just appreciate what these guys are doing and how they consistently challenge the field. Like, y'all niggas is clowns. Say something. And nobody says shit to them. Nobody said anything to them yet. And I don't think they will either. You know, from all we know, a lot of their track record is legitimate because nobody's came out and said, you know, like Rick Ross came out, said he was moving away Port of Miami, but niggas found out he was a CEO and all these other, you know what I'm saying? So, and niggas, you know, like Migos right. was talking all this trap shit, and most of their parents is from the good part of Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like there's a lot of frauds out there. And, not to say that we glorify that lifestyle, but, you know, due to knowledge of the black community in America, you know how 90% of the hoods became hoods. You know, it was all by design. So we're always grateful and thankful to see those that made it out to tell the story, you know.
Right.
Not a glamorous past, but hey, this is what you had to do to get by, and those are the scars that, you know, that you earn from it. Yeah, I mean, hey, it is what it is, my nigga. Tell your story. But, yeah, man, I'll say this about the album. I had to listen to it twice only because initially, it was kind of slow for me. You know, I thought this was just going to be like Lulu 2.0. You know what I mean? That was my initial feeling going into it. Because when he dropped the Lulu joint, that was with Alchemist, right? That he that did all those tracks for Lulu. Joint with the Great White Shark on the cover that we talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was going to be another repeat of that because of the tempo of it all. But once I got past the initial sound test, I had to go back and listen to it again. You know, and when I did, I started finding favor in a few more of the songs than I initially gave the nod to. And that's to his credit, because I had to keep listening to hear what he was talking about in order for me to, like, really say, oh, I see what he was trying to do with this.
It was more backpacky. Like, when he came up with Big Ghost, it's more backpacky. Like,
And that's part of me.
If you have to label it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a major part of my upbringing in the game of hip-hop. Like, I was a backpack nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hit the train for the hour and a half train ride to go out to Brownsville with a jam sport, you know, full of, you know, with my Walkman, my headphones, and my tapes in the small zipper part.
Everything that was important to you, like
that was it.
Like,
that was my utility belt.
You know what's so rich? You know what's so rich? And I don't mean to cut you off, but you know what's so rich about that is like, what if you wasn't from a concrete jungle, like you and I per se grew up in, you know what I'm saying? Because like, and Jovi, Jovi, you was out in Fort Washington, correct?
Yeah.
So it wasn't as concrete jungle-ish as kind of what me and Save grew up in. Not to take anything from your upbringing, but what I'm saying is that, well, you know, growing up in that concrete jungle and having the bus and the train and all the public service, like that JanSport was your life.
Yeah, it was
like
a
if
lot
you
of
if you ever was at the courts and you seen a nigga's JanSport, pick it up, you're gonna find his shoes. You feel me? Like it's just it was just an element, right? Like it was kind of like a icon. Ding ding ding! Everything I own is right here. So
JanSport was a, what's the word I'm looking for? That was kind of a shit, not a rite of passage. It was a It's not the staple I'm looking for. That was a fixture. Staple and fixture, same shit. That was a staple in the hip hop culture in the mid 90s.
So crazy,
you know what I'm saying?
So crazy, right?
It was a staple in hip hop culture. See, I couldn't afford the leather bottom. Them just was like $40, B. Like, I had everybody had JanSports in the 90s, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
I had a JanSport going to Morgan State in 96. JanSports was the way.
So, my I got my JanSport at a rubbish sale. And it was the blue. It was the typical blue with the tan suede bottom.
Yeah,
and I had the backpack clip, so I could put it so I could put it.
Oh, you had
around
the
my waist.
Shit. Oh yeah, niggas was getting robbed back then, son.
Like, and you was either gonna take my body or but you wasn't getting my bag. So.
Nah, niggas was getting robbed for those heavy out there around my way. You crazy?
Yeah.
If you especially if you had the motherfucking you had a Columbia on with that shit. Oh yeah, niggas is chasing for all of that. Yeah, nigga, you got the double win.
I had my Hoosiers coat on. I was good.
Yeah, now you had to have the orange box cut with you at that point, and then that's what I kept in the inside pocket. Y'all was Eddie Bauer.
You basically if you see the niggas JanSport in the Eddie, he had that thing on him. Don't even bother.
Oh. Exactly. Because he knew better. He knew better to wear that without having that on. Yeah. That's a fact. You know what though, Jovi? That's real shit because I remember there was some DC niggas that got into it with some Jersey niggas out in front of the gym. They used to call it the Field House at Morgan State. And the nigga had the 3/4 length Eddie Bauer. With
he had that stick, nigga.
And this is what I'm saying. This was the first time I knew DC niggas was waving tools like that because he straight whipped out the 380 on niggas was like run up to all them Jersey niggas.
Right, come on.
I said, shit.
Yeah.
I said these DC niggas, and that's when I learned to start respecting PGDC niggas because I saw they was with the shits, just like New York niggas was, if not more. There wasn't a lot of talking from them niggas because I didn't know the built up animus that they already had for New Yorkers at that time. You dig what I'm saying? And so they was just bottom line, the niggas I was ready to go was just looking for a reason to let niggas know don't give a fuck where y'all from. You know what I'm saying?
And the
niggas snitched on that city, bruh.
I didn't know the history behind it because I was fucking shielded by the New York, a law that carried with the name. When niggas said where you was from, New York. You know what I'm saying? And it was like if niggas knew Mount Vernon, they knew Mount Vernon. But if I was like, well, if they ain't know Mount Vernon, I was like, well, look, it's right. You know what I mean? I would give them a quick geography lesson, but I would tell niggas a lot of time, like, look. I'm the only nigga. I'm one of the only niggas from my family up in Mount Vernon. Rest of my team from BK. So that's where all my upbringing is from. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like the best of both worlds with that situation. But that's not even talking about the album. Long story short, y'all. What happens when you're talking. We ain't got shit to do with shit. Long story short.
Hip hop is rich though.
But it'll take you there because it has such an impact on everybody's life as it became mature. As it matured, P people matured with it. The culture became richer and more storied as more happened with it. And this is a prime example of how a defining sound of the culture, of what made it what it was, can still be transposed into today's artists. And we're just so happy that a certain demographic of hip-hop that came up, as Jovi quoted it, as Backpack, is still alive to a certain degree. And I respect Conway, because when he said in there, early in the album or in this project, he said that him and this Big Ghost is the new Guru and Primo. And when he said that, I was like, that's kind of a high bar to like really set yourself towards. But as the project went on, I saw elements of why he would make that comparison. I can't give him that nod yet, obviously, because this is their first full project together. And Primo Guru was doing it since 88, 89, Words That I Manifest and shit like that. So, you know what I mean? You can't give that to him yet, but I respect the aspirations that they're going for, as far as that's a great bar to set for yourself. And I hope they get there.
So,
honestly. I hope they do.
So I'm going to put this in perspective. So this is the same guy who did, and we reviewed it on the show, No One Mourns the Wicked. So like the album art, so like the sound is just strictly deeply rooted in that stereotypical early New York sound. I mean, it's a few variations here and there as far as how the instrumentals are composed, but at its core, it's just baseline, and it's nothing that's overpowering the artist. So you're hearing the lyrics, you're hearing the bars, and it's the artist more so putting the life into the track and not vice versa now, because now you're moving because the track is moving you, not because of what the rapper is saying in most of this shit, and I'm guilty of it. I like a lot of this. I like a lot of this shit because it sounds great and it moves, but it ain't really saying shit. This shit is a little slowed down, so like Faye said, it takes you a while, especially if you in a more primitive ear, prior to listening. You can't really jump from this new shit and go listen to that. You can't go listen to whatever's the hot track from your Apple Music, then go listen to that.
You can't go to clean. You got to clean your palate before you do that. You can't go from drill sound, Fabio Foreign and all the mother. You can't go from that to this shit. It's just not going to work at all.
No.
You have to be in a certain zone and just respect what they're going for here. So overall, I enjoyed the project. Like I said, after the second time I listened to it, I was able to get into it more and pause and, really understand what he was going for. I believe in my estimation, what he was trying to, the sound he was going for. So I'll give this project a solid B, only because it was 10 tracks. Not only because, but because it was 10 tracks and I downloaded half of them. So I think if it was a bigger sample size, if it was a 15 track, then that means that would have probably averaged out to me about having 8 tracks out of that 15, which is commendable for a lot of today's projects, because a lot of these niggas out here have their radio song and then they can't follow up with nothing else after that. You got to wait for their next album to put them to have another radio song. Like a nigga like Roddy Ricch. I know he's still doing his thing, but since The Box and what's the other song that he had with the Fast song, the up-tempo joint? Shit. It was like a sing-songy hook. He had two songs out that was popping, but you don't hear nothing from this nigga no more because the creativity is capped at a certain point because the bar is so low now. that a nigga could just have a catchy joint for the wave for the moment, and then they go away, and like, you know, they're like shark teeth. Once one nigga goes away, three more pop up in that same road he just dropped off from. You know what I mean? So it's, that's the way the game works now. Everything is so instant gratification, microwave. And for these niggas to still make, you know, pot roast, nigga, you know what I'm saying? And Thanksgiving turkeys, shit you gotta wait for.
Pot roast.
Feel me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you got, you know, you gotta look at the what goes into these projects, man. So I, you know, hats off to them for that. But I'll give it a solid B. But just I would have gave it a higher grade. But like I said, the tempo of it was very, very, you know, slow pace for me. A little bit too much for me for the all 10 songs.
Very nice, very nice. I went with a C plus. I thought it was I'm not too big in the tempo. I mean, it is what it is. I'm more in the content, as we all know. And I thought it was a decent project. I really did. I like From a King to a God better, but
oh, you know, that definitely was like, you know, his defining moment. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was, but no, for like you said, an extended EP, definitely a C plus. I mean, like, I feel like a B minus is too much, but definitely a C plus. And I do appreciate, again, with the accolades, Jovi T with his mixed salad of, you know, musical talent. It's easy to get stuck in a genre or a time frame, which I was for a long time. But these, you know, like these Buffalo Cats and these East Philly boys and whoever else is, you know, coming around. Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm still learning curve, trying to sit down and appreciate the work that these guys are doing. But the more Jovi P puts it out, the more I listen, the more I broaden my horizon. So shout out to Jovi P for that. But yep, C plus is my grade, and I'm looking forward actually to whatever he's gonna come out with next, because I think he's on fire right now.
What you got, Jovi?
I would say a B. Like I said, just based on the 2020 that he had, I think I might have gone into this project a little too high on the waves. And that's not discredit to the project. It's just, you know, the expectations. When you hear certain artists, especially when it revolves around, you know, the three people in that, you know, three major cogs in that camp. And that when you hear a Benny project about to drop, or if you hear a Conway or a West Side Gun, the expectation is already pretty high. And that speaks on the quality of work, because I can't think of anything recently. I can't think of anything that they've dropped between those three that flopped. Like it definitely, it may not be something that's stuck out or played in your playlist, or you know, stayed in the rotation for months on end, but you can go back to that album and it does what it needs to do. And this project does exactly that. It does what it needs to do. 10 tracks, you know, 10 solid tracks, you know, typical sound for Conway. Again, this whole comparison to Primo is a bit premature, but I can kind of understand the approach and, like you said, the lane or the train of thought, you know, as far as how they work together and they're best when they're working together. So if that's the case, then I would like to see, you know, Big Ghost try his hand with other members, if that's false, if that's what he's going to do, and really branch out, because It was a B. Like, it wasn't like the Alchemist tracks or anything like that, the way it was just a resounding, oh my gosh, run that shit back. But you can play it, I won't be mad at you.
The only thing that I have to hang up about, you know, when you have one producer doing a whole project is redundancy. Sooner or later, all the songs are going to sound the same. That's the only, and that's why I said I could only take 5 songs out of the 10, because the 5 that stood out to me, the other 5 kind of sound just like, you know what I mean? Well, I should say 4, because one track was an intro. So 5 out of 9, that's still a winning ratio. So that's why I have to give it a B. But yo, let's do something real quick, y'all. Remember the show that I used to the podcast I was telling you I was doing with my other team before we started up our own. Let's give those guys a call. Let's see if they answer the phone. And do some quick party crashing, cross promotion, and see what's happening. See if they pick up.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
We think of North Carolina and many other states, but Lou Dawes. At Fox News has been sued for like $1 trillion, it seems like $1 billion.
Yeah,
$2.1 billion. Giuliani's up in that lawsuit. We shall see. But listen, Fox News is like hell to the no. You a liability, Lou. You out of here.
Yeah.
The truth matters, folks.
The majority of the people on the shows on that news station are mostly opinionated. They're not going to really have too much of a leg to stand on, because it's not most of their stuff wasn't fact based in the first place.
The facts and the truth still matters to most people, folks. And there's actions for your consequences. I know we fed into, you know, a lot over the last 4 years. I mean, but it was a lot of spending. It was a lot of lying. And guess what? I mean, a lot of that is coming home. You know, I mean, now you got to deal with it, right? You.
I'm trying to message them now so they can try to merge us in and everything. But I like this feature, how we could just call people. I like it.
Yeah.
So
I like
let's go to break, and I'll try to see, try to figure out what's going on with them in a second. We'll be right. Where's the joint that I was about to play? Shit, not that one. You're right here. All right, here we go. Be right back, y'all.
I don't know. They caught us leaving Shay's funeral fresh as a bitch.
Uh-huh.
They told me, bro, I promise you, I ain't stressing, don't trip. Just keep applying pressure, show them you a legend, that's
you
it.
Know what we're
that's
about,
why
bro.
I never leave a house without scared on my hip.
Uh-huh.
Rather get caught with it than without it, get left and get clipped. In life, you gotta appreciate every lesson you get. Thanking God every day for every blessing I get.
Get on my knees and I pray.
Look, this the Lord's grace, I used to off base.
Uh-huh.
You a bitch, get in your place, I spit in your face. My younger keeps his blicky on waist, he's skipping court dates. The nigga robbed the club, kicked his door and took 4 plates.
Give me this shit, man.
Mentally, I've been in a dark place, but still popping out fresh as a bitch. My Louis Shark's late. Been through so many ups and downs and fucking heartbreaks. Man, I'm a large shape. I'm feeling large late. What the fuck? It's like I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I don't know where I'm going. Shit.
I don't know where I'm going.
Lately, I've been feeling so lost. I took a loss. How I navigate through it all. When
I don't know where I'm going.
I've just been feeling so confused, I don't know how to move.
But I know where I've been,
smoking. I almost died in this bitch, nigga. When Sheen Gun died, I was sick, nigga.
My heart.
When Sheen Gun died, I was. Look, I ain't even really gotta explain it. That's why we so violent and dangerous and ride with the stainless. I got shot a few times, but I'm a survivor, I made it. So many of my niggas I grew up with that died and ain't make it. So when they tell me I ain't top five, I get angered. I get no respect like Rodney Danger. My album's amazing. All the gangsters get salutations. They tell me that they proud, it's amazing.
What up, nigga?
We are the real niggas, let them out of them cages. Every verse is a cruising missile. It ain't nothing about me superficial. You violate, I send my goon to get you. Don't be stupid, I got issues, nigga. For shame. It's like I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I don't know where I'm going. Shit. Lately I've been feeling so lost. I took a loss, how I navigate through it all.
Light one up and smoke one, man.
I've just been feeling so confused.
Shit been wild. Lost my nigga Shay. My nigga Cutter got that 7. Shit fucking me up.
Eastern 841 Central, we transmitting live from Mars and Jovi P DNA DNS. That nigga saved James. Amy Lizzie's Omaha 914-219-0866 is the number to dial. Press 1 if you want to engage in the conversation. We just finished up our review of the latest Big Ghost Limited and Conway Project, and resounding, I guess, must listen. Well, I can say must listen, but it's worth the extra hour or two that you want to put towards the album. Give it a second listen. It seems to be the general consensus, because the first listen, and I guess the general consensus was it was slow. It was a tad slower than anticipated as far as the project. And we're gonna move forward to what many of us already knew was going to happen, and a lot of people kind of, you know, had to suffer through. I must say, yesterday was probably the worst. I guess it worst. It was the most anticlimactic Super Bowl I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't say anticlimactic. I'm gonna say it was surprising that they couldn't get in the end zone one time that whole game. That's all I'll say. Normally that's they'll find a way.
That shit was the only game that was worse than this game was when Peyton and them got ran up in by Seattle.
Yeah. They blew the doors off.
It's not like that game though. Like we knew what it was the whole game. It felt like that type of game.
You know what? I didn't feel like that. Honestly, I still thought there was a chance for Mahomes to be Mahomes even after halftime being down 21-6. I still thought there was a chance for Mahomes to be Mahomes. But when I said, oh, this shit over, is when Fournette had that run. Once he broke that shit open, I said, oh, this shit is done, yo. There's no way they're coming back. Like, especially if they didn't score right away after that. I said, this shit is over,
right,
yo. So this shit is over.
I was hoping that they would have scored on the opening drive. And when they did it, I was like, oh, okay. You just left me your chances. And then we got down to, like, 4 or 5 minutes in the third, and I was like, yo, we gotta score at least one touchdown right now. We have 17 minutes left in the game. Nope. Nothing. Turnover. I'm gonna say this though. The narrative was set.
is Brady's game. Let's not forget the fact that the way that the NFL is even played when it comes to QBs was designed because of Tom Brady. You know, that'll put a little better understanding as to why things are the way they are. When he's there, they're not going to take it from him. And you know what else, too? Out of the three losses that he has in the Super Bowl,
one of them is to a fight guy.
Why? Yeah, and that's the reason why I'm not really feeling this on Black History Month. And that's why niggas is asking me, like, is he the GOAT of all sports? Like, I get it, but I'm not going to give him Mike in February. Sorry, I'm not going to. He's not going to get the nod over Mike in February. Sorry. You can ask me that shit in May, June, July, maybe next August. We have another conversation. But February, sorry, I'm moving everybody black in February, y'all. Sue me. Fuck. Mike was still 6-0 when he got there. I get it, Brady.
Yeah.
Brady 7-3, and he got there 10 times. Like, you know, that I'll say, is he a better champion than LeBron? Because LeBron been to 10 of them and only came away with 4. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
And even if you want to question Tom's first 3 because of the Spygate shit, I'll even give you that. We can spot you 3. But those 4 that he had. What was the 4 after that? Because we know the first 3, it was St. Louis, Carolina, and Philly.
Field goal.
It was field goal for all of them.
Yeah.
It was field goal. Because that's how Vinatieri got his name etched in stone. Those 3 Super Bowls. He basically won those 3 Super Bowls for him. Then after that, it was... Who did he beat? He beat the Seahawks. Who's right after that? The Rams? No, the Seahawks, the Falcons, the Rams, and now the Chiefs. So even those 4, the Rams was kind of a dud, but the Seahawks and the Falcons. That was one you could say that he won those. He definitely won those. Those are more convincing than I would say. The one convincing win that LeBron has for me is the first one he won for Cleveland when he came back from 3-1. But we all know there was a caveat with that though. Because of the Draymond suspension, that game five was the pendulum swinger. Okay, that's one of the pendulums. But you know, whatever though, we're not talking about LeBron tonight. I can't give Brady GOAT of all sports yet, only because it's asterisk on those first 3, and just because I'm not going to give him over Mike. Fuck him, because fuck him. That's why. Bottom line. He got seven. Mike got no losses. You know what I'm saying? And that was kind of the standard niggas was holding Tom Brady to against Joe Pro, against Joe Montana, because Montana was 4-0. You know what I'm saying? He never lost when he went. So he was kind of like the standard. But now that
he gave him more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So they had to give him a bigger sample size for him to kind of usurp that spot. So, you know, I give him his credit, though, that, you know, he got more than some franchises got total. All franchises total.
He has more than all of them.
He has more than all franchises
all of them.
Total. Yeah. Yeah, so you definitely got to give credit where credit's due. You're never going to hear anybody on this show disrespect the greatness of a Tom Brady. But at the same time, you know, I think it's kind of fatigue, like we were talking about before, NFL fatigue, just seeing this guy hoisting Lombardi Trophy fucking 10 years out of his 20-year career. 10 years out of a 20-year career, he was in that dance. That's a hell of a career.
Then he has a 70% completion
70% rate. Win ratio in a Super Bowl. Out of 10 tries.
Bro.
That's Phil Jackson numbers, nigga.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson numbers, nigga. I'm talking like win percentage. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so, all right, I'll ask you guys this, and we're going to try to call back to my boy's show because they're waiting on us now. Do you think it was more bad Kansas City or good Bucks?
I think it was more. It was more bad Kansas City. Their offensive line was broken.
Yeah, I definitely give you that. They definitely took advantage of that because those front four was getting there was a stat that said they said that this nigga ran around for 497 yards before he passed out of scrambling. For the whole game, he ran around a circle for almost 500 yards before he passed, before he either passed the ball or got hit on all of his dropbacks.
Five football fields.
That's
five.
That's half a season for somebody. That's a whole season for some people. That's backups.
Yep.
This nigga ran for 500 yards in circles. That whole game.
Ran for his life.
Getting chased.
On a bum toe.
And the worst part about it, though, is the fact that when he was getting out of jams and actually delivering the ball, there was two touchdowns them niggas dropped. Hit them right in their face mask. Tyreek Hill dropped one, and Damian Williams dropped another one. The pass that the nigga was parallel to the ground, like he literally was like he jumped and like dove and threw the ball at the same time. That shit hit Damian Williams right in the hands, and he dropped it. And then Tyreek Hill did the same shit, but I think it was only bad KC because it was good Bucks defense. Ty Bowles had the master plan to knock this nigga off his balance.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm over it. I'm so angry. I can't even.
All right, we're gonna try to call the homie back again. We're gonna see if they pick up.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold, and you will be able to listen to the show.
Due to Jay Rogers. We have introduced you to Eddie Myers.
They're doing Black History Month.
To Raphael Bostic. We have introduced you to Lewis Carr. We've introduced you.
Yeah, nah, they ain't hearing us for some reason. I don't know what was going on with it. Anyway, it was a good try. We'll figure out the technology next time. That was my boy TM Hyman. Check my boy at TM Hyman Radio. We've been doing this for a while. That was one of the casts that I've been working with for years before the three of us decided to join forces and put our wits together and give you guys such splendid listening ear fucking. For lack of a better term, that's what we do over here. 5 minutes left in the show. You guys think they're going to run it back next year?
Tampa,
KC.
If they are willing to clock, see, the problem is the money. If they're willing, Bruce Arians isn't coming back. He's done.
I don't believe that he'll take less money. Niggas are trying to win chips. I don't believe that. They know they got a formula. I don't believe that.
One more year with Tom.
Yep. And I think with those coordinators also, because Bowles is going to get another offer, and I think if they do the same, if they replicate the same success that they had this year.
Oh, Leftwich is gone.
Leftwich is going to get snatched quick. Okay.
Oh yeah.
For him to be, you know, younger, significantly younger than Tom Brady. I wouldn't say significantly, but young enough that Tom Brady didn't have to listen to this nigga. And he calls game plans such as he does. Like, that was, they picked them niggas apart yesterday. They picked them
apart. It's eye-opening.
And niggas got to start paying attention to Byron Leftwich now with no offense of mine. But if you follow football, you knew what he was about from Marshall. You know the heart that he had.
He was as unathletic as a black guy that you would ever see play quarterback. He had to use his mind in order to be, they said his locker room, like his genius in the QB room, like they knew he was going to be a coach when this was all said and done. Like, that's all you heard in Jacksonville. That's all you heard in Pittsburgh. He's going to be a coach.
Mm.
So to see that he's walking in that light now,
yeah,
and
I'm happy
he's
for him, bro.
Dude, he's from the D.C. area.
Happy for him. That's right. He is. That's right. That damn right he is. That's right. He has the slowest throwing motion in the world, but if he uncorked that motherfucker, you better run. Cause that shit flying. He was able to get around in full extension. That shit flying. Don't get it twisted. He's 6'5", 260-something. Sorry about that. But he's 6'5", 6'6", 260-something. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of torque. You know what I'm saying? Being on court, pause. You know what I'm saying? Whenever he threw the football, so he definitely knows. He knows his way around the field. Definitely give him that. But yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to Ty Bowles and all the rest of the diversity that Bruce Arians has kind of was able to put on the front line for the masses to see that, you know, people are fucking up this Rooney Rule. They might as well throw it out because, you know, unless they look like Bruce Arians or Cliff Kingsbury or Sean McVay or fucking Shanahan, they're not going to try anybody, you know what I'm saying, willingly to lead, you know, to lead the charge. The only person that really proved them wrong all these years has been Mike Tomlin. Because he's never had a losing season as a coach for the Steelers. They may not make the playoffs all the time, but either went 8-8 or they had to win the season. That says a lot.
Says a lot.
There's not many coaches that have that on his record. But anyway, we're gonna get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. But we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I'm glad we didn't, because the wannabe Mike Jackson called The Weeknd with that bootleg ass Thriller performance yesterday, I think was kind of confusing to some and disappointing to the rest. He obviously got, you know, plastic surgery to make him look more like Clarence Williams III. Why? I don't know. But I mean, hey, if that gets you more bitches, my nigga, more power to you. He got paid off of what he did, so I guess we can't be mad at it, Kobe.
Sales was up 130-something%.
Hey, I ain't mad at the nigga. Get it how you live, fool. Get it how you live. I just thought this shit was kind of bogus. With that being said, we're going to get out of here, y'all. And we're going to see y'all Wednesday. We're going to figure out what we're going to talk about then, but it should probably be something worthwhile. I'm pretty sure that we'll probably get into this new stimulus thing that's going out. Is people going to be receiving this, how much, like $250 a month or whatever with that $3,000 package and the $1.9 trillion altogether? We'll talk about it then, if not anything else. See you on the flip side. Peace.
Look, I'm the new king, I'm the new terror. The hardest niggas out since the Wu era. Lot of blemishes on your record, it's a few errors. So you built a brand off a cap like New Era. Still a $2,000 shoe wearer. Question lose, I got a few pair of two-door coupe steerer. New fair guard on my body, something to shoot near it. It's a boot near, I'm in that bitch spitting true serums. You hear them? They haven't found a nigga better yet.
Not at all.
They say that grimy rap was dead. I came and resurrected it. Never bet against the scene. I'm forever blessed. Why my wrist and neck is like I found a buried treasure chest. Let's reflect. Let the record show. Everywhere I go, I step with sket. If it's pressure, I address the threat. You owe me spread. I'm sending shots to collect the debt. We don't tolerate no disrespect. Check. 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 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. I ain't done, nigga.